The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's word, train God's people, and release God's favor. At the close of this teaching, we ask you to continue listening as we give you important information about Christians for Messiah Ministries. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the theme of worship. This is message number 0035 and is entitled The Seven Stages of Worship. Now, Dr. Peter Wins.
We hope that many of you will be coming to the study week. We're going to be speaking on breaking generational curses, demolishing spiritual prisons, your journey to freedom. And we want to also talk to you about learning to become a minister yourself, to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is going to be a very power-packed week from Tuesday to Friday, and we encourage you to come, and we look forward to being with you and praying over you, and perhaps one night you can bring your families too, and we'll pray over them on the last night. Maybe we'll just open it up and have families come and pray over you. You know, this is one of the great adventures that Joy and I have. We do travel the nation and sometimes around the world preaching and setting people free, and that's what Jesus did. And we work for him. And, you know, he came to set prisoners free and to change the assignment over people's lives. He came to make a difference. He didn't come just so we could have good church services. He came to change our lives and to change the whole world. And that's what we're all about. And so we encourage you to come. Also, if you haven't yet signed up for our Israel trip, we have about 35 people already signed up. We only allow 45 on a trip, so there's only about 10 seats left on Noah's Ark. Then the door slams and the rain starts coming. But if you would like to come with us to Israel this year, we'll be going in February. There are some brochures there. There's also a place for you to sign up if you'd like to be on our mailing list and receive a teaching letter every month. There's a place there for you to sign up. Also, there's a couple of books there for sale, as well as some free teaching material. There's a couple of books, one on the book of Revelation, which is called Unexpected Fire. And it's not, of course, the unexpected fire of judgment alone that we talk about, but we talk about the unexpected fire of the Holy Spirit that will be coming upon the church starting now and increasing until the day of Christ's return. We're going to only see momentum gather, anointing fall, and the Spirit of God being released through the hands and words and lives of God's people to turn this world upside down. So while trauma and troubles come, I like what Jesus said. He said there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all kinds of pestilence, but do not be afraid. So all the church members who are afraid of the tribulation period aren't obeying the Lord, because he says, do not be afraid, for the end is not yet, for these are only the beginning of birth pains or labor pains. And those labor pains mean something is about to be born. And what's coming? What is going to be born? It's the powerful, anointed church of the living God and redeemed Israel after she receives her end time revival that will set the world on fire. When the world's fallen apart, the Holy Spirit will move on this planet. And it's going to be an exciting time. So don't be afraid, as some will teach you to be afraid. Don't be afraid of the coming of the end, but walk with God. And I'm going to speak to you now on the subject of walking with God. More specifically, I want to speak to you about worship. This is a worship church. You have some of the best worshipers in the world in this place. I love Pastor Ray and his team. Absolutely awesome. And every time I walk into this place, and they're practicing in the early mornings, you know, and I come walking in, immediately I sense the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. And please do not take that for granted. There are some churches, I think, that have Ichabod over their door, which means the Lord has departed, the Lord has left. And that's a horrible thing to experience when the Lord, maybe some of you feel it on your life that the Lord has left and you're kind of left on your own. But I want to speak to you about worship and coming back. I want to speak to you about the manifest presence of the Lord. It's not correct for us to say, Lord, will you come and be with us today? That's really incorrect. Because, you know, he's already with us. You know he lives in you. When you go into a place, the Lord goes into that place. If he's not there already, and he's probably there already at any rate. He is just here with us. But what we need to ask for is the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's very different than just knowing that God's here. It's when the ground that we're on becomes holy ground and the presence of the Lord is felt. It's when you get goosebumps. It's when miracles happen. It's when curses are broken. It's when jobs are released. It's when an open heaven comes, open hearts come, open eyes come, open hands come, and the work of the Lord starts to move in our midst. That's called the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways, yeah, go ahead and clap. Clap for Jesus. One of the ways that we get the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit is when we learn how to really worship. So I want to talk to you today about the 7 stages of worship. And I know you're really skillful in this. Probably Ray could teach me some things about worship. But I believe there's always more that we can take. When I first started in the ministry, I was 14 years of age, and I started a youth group because our church didn't have one. And within about a year, we had 40 teenagers get saved, and the youth group took off. And then when I was 19, I was a full-time senior pastor, believe it or not, like Ripley's. And then we planted a church, our first church, when we were 24. But in those early days, I had to do everything in the church. Because when you only have 10 people to start the church, you have to do everything, especially if they're ex-prostitutes and drug addicts and they never read a Bible before. And so you're a worship leader. I was a worship leader in those early days, believe it or not. I used to sing. Now I preach so much that I have to actually watch my voice. There's been times in a message where my voice is cut off. And I've had to have a drink of water and just wait for 30 seconds for my voice to kick in again. So I have to be, sometimes when you don't see me vocalizing on Sunday mornings, it might be because I'm just protecting this voice. But I want you to know that worship is not first and foremost about singing. It's about the way you live your life. And if you don't get this right, all the singing doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Unless you know how to walk in worship before the Lord, your life must be a worship unto him. So we're going to take you through some scriptures, and I'm going to give you a preface about what worship is. And then we're going to look at 7 stages of vocal worship, which includes our singing and playing on our instruments and coming together to celebrate worship on a Sunday morning. So would you open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, and we'll just dive off the diving board and go right to the deep end. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is what we read. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we do thank you that you're always with us. But Lord, we want to experience you. We don't want to just know that you're there as a backup for us in time of trouble. Lord, we want to walk in step with you and partner with you in what you're doing in the world. Lord, we're so honored to be chosen and to be called and to be brought into the great plan of God. And this day, we ask for an open heaven over this place. We ask for the release of your anointing for the preaching of the word of God. We ask that change would come to our lives, that we might walk with you more precisely, more persistently, and more powerfully. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the scripture here says, I urge you, brothers, of course, sisters too. You sisters are not excluded from this. Brothers is a generic term there. We could say, I urge you, sistren, in light of God's mercies on your life. You know you've got God's mercies on your life. In light of the fact that God's being kind to you, that you are to present your bodies to him. Say, here I am, Lord. present your bodies like a living sacrifice. You know, in the olden times, they would take a lamb and put it on the altar, and they would slit its throat. Within 20 seconds, they would put the lamb up on some hooks so that the blood would drain out of it. That's what Levites did. You got this picture of them just in nice priestly garments, but they were, they had to slaughter animals, many thousands sometimes in one day, as a sacrifice unto the Lord. And then that animal was dead, and then they put it on the altar, and they burned it unto the Lord. And many other things about that, which we don't have time to get into today. But the Lord says that you're to be a sacrifice, only you're to be a living one. You're not supposed to slit your throat or do anything nasty like that. Please stay alive. It would not be good for WCF if you took this and did something nasty. And it actually happened around the world. But here you are today, and you're to present your body just like the lamb on that altar, only you're to stay alive. In other words, you give everything to the Lord. And the Lord says that's your reasonable offering of worship, that you sacrifice or give your whole life to Him. You see, on Monday when you go to work, you should say, Lord, I'm going to work and I'm going to serve my boss and I'm going to do everything that's godly and good with every bit of energy that I have, and I'm doing it as worship unto you. When at the end of Monday and you're exhausted and you come home and crash on the couch and your little son comes in and says, Daddy, will you play with me? And you feel like saying, on Saturday, when the weekend comes. But you get up because you hear the Holy Spirit say, come on, get up and go and play ball with the young lad. And you get up, say, Lord, I'm doing this as worship unto you. When Pastor John or Pastor Anna asks you to serve in some way, and you say, but I'm already doing so much, but you say, you know what? I want to serve in God's house and among God's people, and you say, I'm going to do it. That's your life of worship unto the Lord. When you go onto your internet, and all of a sudden something downloads that looks kind of pornographic, and the Holy Spirit says, switch the channels really quick. In the old days, it used to say, rush or run from fleshly lusts. Today, you have to do it with your fingers and get out of there, because that's a nasty. But some people stay and linger too long. That's not worship. But when you say, Lord, I'm your man, and you switch that thing off, that's your worship unto the Lord. When you give of your tithes and offerings, and then you give extra to help somebody else, that's your worship unto the Lord. And that the Lord says that's your reasonable offering of worship, that you live your life unto Him. Do you remember when Jesus went to Samaria? He went from Jerusalem, He went to Samaria, this place where there was half-breeds there. Some were Jewish and some were Gentile. The parents were mixed marriages, and here were these Samaritans. And Jesus not only went to that place, being a Jew, you know, wasn't a popular thing, but He waited until this prostitute came. And when she came to the well in the heat of the day, Jesus asked her for some water. And she said, how is it that you are asking me, a Samaritan, for some water? And He said, if you knew who you were speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water, and you would never thirst again. And then they start to have this talk. And Jesus tells her that He knows everything about her. He knows that she's had 5 husbands, and the one she's living with now is not her husband. And He's communicating with her in a way that says, but you know what? It doesn't matter. I still love you. I still care about you. And then they get onto this theme of worship. Now, they're not talking about singing in church services. They're talking about offering your life unto the Lord, the sacrifice of your life. And He says, the day is coming when people will not just worship in Jerusalem or here in Samaria, but everywhere. For the Lord is looking for those who will worship in spirit and in truth. The first thing is that your life must be a worship unto the Lord. The second thing is that if it's going to be real worship, it's got to be done in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? When these people are up here going, you know, James the man with the anointing on him, and this man here with this mic in his hand jumping up and down and smiling and seeing the radiance of the Lord on his face. You know, all of that would not be good if they live like the devil through the week. When the Lord says that you must worship, the Lord's looking for genuine people, for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Those are two conditions he's looking for. The first one is to worship him in spirit. That means your worship unto the Lord must be spirit-led. Have you been to any churches where which they go to the worship service, but it's not spirit-led? It's man, bureaucratic, organized, administrative, in-a-box kind of service. And you can go to some of those meetings, and you feel as dry as toast without butter. I mean, you're ready to crumble in some of those places. It's like sitting in a boring class because they're not being led by the Holy Spirit. Your life, the worship of your life needs to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's all about, Lord, what do you want me to do now? What do you want me to do now? When these gentlemen and ladies are choosing the songs that they sing, they should be going over those songs ahead of time. And I know they do, saying, Lord, what are the songs that you would have us sing today? And then when they're up here leading in worship, while they're singing to you, they're kind of ambidextrous in the spirit. They're talking out of the back of their heads to God and saying, Lord, now what shall we do? Lord, I'm looking at the people. Where are they? What are they moving into a place of real worship? See, it's got to be led by the Holy Spirit. And then it must be in truth, which means you can't be a hypocrite. You've got to live your life for God. Your life has to be in truth. He's looking for people who aren't phonies when it comes to this thing of worship. Worship is giving. It's giving everything you've got to the Lord. You give your finances to him. You give your time to him. You give your job to him. You give your body to him. You give your children, your family to him, everything that you give unto the Lord, make my life a worship unto you. You know what happens? When you enter into worship, the Lord manifests his presence. You want the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit? Then worship the Lord all the time in spirit and in truth. Some people come to me and say, Dr. Wins, when do you have your devotions? And I really honestly have to say, most all the time. You know, because I'm studying the scriptures while I'm driving in the car. When I go for a walk, I'm talking with the Lord. I'm praying. I'm worshiping him in my heart as I'm moving through life. And I just want to be in that place. It's a moment of distraction when I have to deal with something that takes my attention away from focusing on the Lord. So do you understand in this introduction what I'm saying to you about your life being worship? See, I just over this last couple of months, Joy and I went to a place. I can't say the name of the church or the place unless it gets out on tape. But they had the worst choir in the world. I mean, these people were there singing, and it sounded so off key and so bad, I couldn't believe it. I had to look down at the floor during the worship time. But you know, their hearts were right with God. You can be a lousy singer and a great worshiper if you're giving your life unto God. And the contrary is true, that you can be a talented expert of music with skills and giftings, with the greatest equipment and the best voice, and you can even put goosebumps on the back of people's necks because music is powerful and you're still not worshiping the Lord because you're just worshiping the music and you're worshiping the instruments and you're worshiping the sound. But worship is when you give it all to him. You say, Lord, whatever it is, here's my loaves and fish. Here's my life. I give what I have to you. That's where worship comes from. And if you want to have your prayers answered, and if you want to go to another level in partnering with God, then get this thing of worship right. Let your life walk in a place of constant giving unto him. See, worship is not just about a feel-good service. I mean, I love it when I come in here and I feel good. I feel good. You can take it over from there, okay? But I do. I really sense the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. But that is not the goal of worship. Do you know what the goal of worship is? It's so that you can come into the presence of an almighty God because he's got a job for you to do. He's got work for you to do that you cannot do with all of your earthly gifts, talents, education, and skills. All of you put together in this room with all of your gifts and skills cannot do the work of God until the Holy Spirit anointing comes on you. And where are you going to get that? It's when your life's a life of worship and you enter into that place of worship. You have to go on this journey of worship. I love it when I go into a church and in the very first song, it's like they don't have to have filler and warm up before the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit comes. As soon as the first instrument's played and the first sound comes out, it's like the Lord starts hovering over the people and you start to feel his presence. That's what's going to change people's lives and communities. So let me give you 7 stages of worship. And I'm speaking specifically about vocal worship. I've talked to you about your life being a worship. Now let's look at these stages of vocal worship. The first one, I'm going to give you them quickly and then we'll go through them one after the other. There's a sacrifice of worship. There's thanksgiving of worship. There's proclamations of worship. There's the music of worship. There's the praise of worship. There's the prophecy of worship. And there's the prayer of worship. And by the time you've taken this journey, you will have electricity in your hands. You will be able to call fire from heaven to change the world around you. You will partner with God. How many of you want to go there? This is a journey that you can go on. And nothing will be more important to you once you find this pathway than this journey called the journey of worship. So the first one then is a sacrifice. And we can go into the book. I'm going to look all over at the scriptures today because I like them. And take a look with me to Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 15 says, Hebrews 13, 15, though through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confesses his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Notice at the end of this scripture, he's talking about doing good to others. Doing good to other people. God says it's a sacrifice to do good to other people. But the Lord says that's part of your worship. He is very pleased with that. But at the beginning of this verse, he says, offer unto God a sacrifice of praise, which is coming from your mouth. So there are times when you praise the Lord and it's a sacrifice because nothing is working today. Have you had one of those days? Have you had one of those weeks? Have you had one of those seasons where it seems that you cannot escape the bullet that is coming at you? Where you can't get out from underneath the rain cloud when it seems that the ground is opening up. And if anything can fail, it is going to, it seems. There's trauma in this life. I like to tell those I disciple, the world is a dangerous place. And, you know, you might be living in a time right now where everything is just going great on the outside. But the day is coming when tribulation will also come. And I'm not talking about the great tribulation. You want to hear about that? Get the book. But yes, tribulation is coming sometime this year in your life. It's part of the package. Some people think that if you get all of the money and if you get the right house and if you wear the right clothes and if you have the right wife, and if you have everything right on the outside, you'll have everything right on the inside. But you know that's not true. Hollywood has proved that for us. They have their $7 million homes and more, They have everything that worldly goods can offer them. They have the best-looking wives or husbands and fun activities and parties. And then when trouble comes and the false screen is pulled back and you see their lives are an absolute mess and they have no peace and they're in torment and they're going to some kind of psychiatric center for help. Wouldn't it be much better if you could be that kind of person who, no matter what happened, you have good stuff going on the inside? There's rain around you, war is coming, bombs are flying, sickness is here, people are suffering on every side, and you can feel the pain as well, yet you got a song inside of you, this rejoicing in the Lord. You have this inner strength. Isn't that the kind of person that you want to be? Not that you want to live in that place of tough times and sacrifice and sorrow, but if you had to, what's going on inside of you? And that's called the sacrifice of praise. I remember the story of Jacob. You know who Jacob is? Jacob, he had his name changed to Israel, and from him came the 12 tribes. And you remember Jacob, Israel, I'll call him Israel, he went to Uncle Laban's place. And when he got there, he saw this beautiful, beautiful, knock me out kind of lady named Rachel. And he went to Uncle Laban and he said, I would like to marry her. And Uncle Laban, being a shrewd businessman, says, work for me for 7 years. And then you can have Rachel as your wife. He thought, that's a good deal. And he worked for her for 7 years, worked for Laban for seven. It says on the very day when the 7 years were up, he went in and said, I did my term. I want the wife. And so they had a big party, and under cover of darkness, he went into the tent. And here was Rachel with her little veil on, dark, and she didn't talk. And there's no light in there. And he went and consummated the marriage. And in the morning, he woke up and went, ah! Because it wasn't Rachel. It was the sister, Leah. And he ran out to Uncle Laban. He said, Laban, what have you done to me? And he said, we Jewish people have a policy. We like to marry off the oldest daughters first. But I'll give you two for the price of one. So you can get Rachel too if you work for me for another 7 years. Well, it must have been a terrible thing being Leah, because she wasn't so attractive. And she suffered from rejection. You can be beautiful and suffer from rejection. Lots of people suffer from rejection. And so she had a baby. And she said, now that I've had a baby, maybe my husband will really love me. But he didn't. She knew in her heart that he was patronizing her and he was nice to her, but it wasn't red hot, romantic, passionate, I love you, lady. So then she had a second child, and she said, now maybe Israel, Jacob, will love me. But no, she still didn't feel loved. And she had a third child named Levi. First Reuben, then Simeon, then Levi. And she's, now I've had three sons for him. Surely now he will love me. But nothing changed. And then the Bible tells us that she had a fourth son. And she said, no matter what, I will praise the Lord. That's the sacrifice of praise. She said, even if he doesn't show any attention to me, even if I don't feel that kind of love, I'm going to praise the Lord. And so I will name him Judah, which means praise. And you know what tribe Jesus chose to be a part of when he said, I'm going to be one of the descendants of Abraham? He said, I want to be a part of the tribe of Judah. He became the lion from the tribe of Judah. The people of praise The people of a sacrifice of praise. And this is the first thing that you have to learn. If you learn nothing else about worshiping the Lord, the first stage of praise is to offer a sacrifice of praise. It took Leah 4 kids to learn it. But she learned. So no matter what your circumstances, you want your circumstance to change, then let it change on the inside first. And then watch what God does on the outside. First stage of praise is a sacrifice of praise. The second one is thanksgiving. And would you turn with me to Psalm 100? I want to read to you what the Bible says in Psalm 100. This is thanksgiving praise. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. So this is how we enter into the manifest presence of the Lord. We come through with thanksgiving. I like what it says at the beginning. It says, make joyful songs to the Lord. Worship songs should not be like the Volga boat song. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. It shouldn't be like that. There's supposed to be joyful songs unto the Lord. In fact, the Bible even says you can make a joyful noise. If you're not a good singer, if you're tone deaf, you can make a joyful noise. They won't choose you for the worship team, but in the back row, you can make a joyful noise. Go crazy in the back row. But do it unto the Lord. You know where worship really is the best? It's when you're all alone with God. And you start to worship him. I love just being alone in the car, not even my wife there. Just the Lord. Because I can turn up the windows and just let it rip. And if it's off tune, God fixes it, I think, before it gets to the throne. And I can sing, I will give him all my worship. Sometimes I cry when I'm driving in my car. People coming along beside me must think I just had a real rough day. My wife left me or something because I'm crying. But I'm crying because of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord says, make a joyful noise unto him and serve the Lord with gladness. This ought to be a fun thing. And then he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. And this should be in all of our worship. I challenge every church to look at their songs and see how many of their songs have to do with being thankful. We ought to go through the list of songs and do a little bit of spiritual analyzing on the lyrics. What are we really saying? What are we really saying? A lot of songs are about us. Please do not get in the trap of singing about your sorrows. They say they don't sing the blues in heaven. And there are some songs, these are the chains that bind me, but Lord, one day you're going to set me free. Don't just ask him. Enter into thanksgiving. Say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for this family. I thank you for this church. I thank you for this country. I thank you for our president. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for the miracles that come. I thank you for the word of God. Oh, I thank the Lord. That's the second stage of worship. As you go through these stages of worship, you know what you're going to find? More of the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. There was even times when Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord was present to heal. And the Spirit of the Lord was always with him. What was he talking about? He was talking about the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. The release of God's Holy Spirit. Now the third stage of worship is what I call proclamation worship. Now proclamation is when you talk about the great things that God does. You proclaim, you make an announcement, God is good. You sung that. God is great. You make a proclamation of his great acts and of his great ways, of what belongs to him, like the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all who dwell in it. there's the old-time churches who used to do something called responsive readings. Were you ever part of the old-time church? Anybody here part of the old-time church besides me? Okay, there's some old-timers here. And, you know, at the back of the hymn books, they had something called responsive readings. And you'd stand up on a Sunday morning, and somebody up the front would read one section of Scripture, and you'd read another. Well, this has a biblical base to it. There's a part of worship that needs to make a declaration of what God has done. Lord, you are great. There's none like you. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You hold all things in the palm of your hand. All things consist because of you. Because of you, Lord Jesus, there will be a good ending to the story. Because of you, we're going to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There's none like you. You are full of light, and in you there is no shadow of turning. We make the proclamation this day that you are Lord of heaven and earth. You're Lord of the whole universe, and you're Lord of my life, and you're Lord of this church, and you're Lord of my family. Those are proclamations. And you start to make proclamations about who God, you know, what God has done. And it soaks the walls. And I'll tell you what happens. Demons hate it. They say, I'm getting out of here, which is a good thing for you. Because, you know, even though they might not be inside of you, and some might be, but they can still hang around. They'll make trouble wherever they can. And not only that, but when you proclaim these things, angels come. It's like, angels come. They say, hey, there's a party in room 305. Let's go there. What are they doing? They're making proclamations unto the Lord God Almighty. That's our kind of people. And angels come. They're there to help you and serve you, to walk with you. So proclamation of the declarations of his greatness, his love, his power, his knowledge. They are things about the Lord. Now the fourth stage of worship, I call the music of the worship. And that's what we experience some of here today. What we have is songs, we have people singing, we have voices, and we have instruments, all kinds of instruments. I like the Levites, you know, there were some, in the time of David, there were some 28,000 Levites who were all in what was called the temple worship. Some of them were sacrificing animals, they all had different jobs. But there was 4,000 in the band. There were 4,000 singers and players in the time of David, who were to worship the Lord with the music. Now, music is something very special. It's like speaking. You know why humans have sophisticated speech? The reason why you have sophisticated speech that's different from a dolphin or a dog or an elephant is so that you can have fellowship with God. That's the reason why you can talk. The primary reason you can talk is so that you can talk to God intelligently. Do you know the primary reason for music is to worship him? All other purposes for music, entertainment's great, but all other purposes for music are a distant second to the primary goal of all music, which is to worship God Almighty and the Lamb who sits on the throne. And I just cry out and say, worship leaders, you've been given such a place of power, such a place of authority, because God's given us this magical thing called music, which even the devil can use to sway the multitudes. Music is so dynamic and so powerful. I love most music. Although I don't involve myself in a lot of it because I'm on a different track. I'm talking with the Lord most of the time. And so I don't put the radio on to listen to music when I'm traveling much. Because the time is precious to me. And I'm talking with the Lord. But when you worship the Lord, I say, worship leaders, you've been given this authority and power. Will you now take us to the next level where we worship the Lord? Will you choose the songs that are about the adoration of the Lord God Almighty and about the great things that He has done? Let's get our eyes off of us as much as we can with the songs that we have, with the selection that we have. Let's focus on how great He is, how mighty He is, how fantastic is our God and what He is doing. And I'll tell you, when you enter into worship with those kind of songs and the people are playing because they're spirit-led, they're playing in spirit and in truth, all of a sudden you feel the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit move over congregation and congregation. I can remember being in Africa, one of my favorite places to visit around the world. And in Africa, you go out in the morning to have your coffee on the balcony with the forest, the rainforest all around you, and you hear the birds singing. You think you're in the tiki house in Disney World. The birds are singing everywhere. And then if it's Sunday morning, long before you might get ready to church, you'll find there are churches in the valley already having their worship times. And these African people are singing like angels. I don't know how they do it. You know, they can move and sing at a whole different level. But with the birds singing and the music coming up from the valley of people worshiping and praising and glorifying the Lord God Almighty, you just feel the presence of the Lord. It's like, put the tape on. This will be a bestseller. This is great. And you come into some meetings where people know how to worship in spirit and in truth, and then they know how to play on the instruments, and they worship the Lord, they can take us into a new level, a new level, a new level in God. It's like they're opening the garage door of heaven, pulling it back, and there it is. We're in the presence of the Lord. Have you ever been to a meeting where the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit, after a time of dynamic, ascending praise worship, was so powerful that nobody wanted to talk? People just sat there. I've been in some meetings with 500 people, like a congregation like this and more, where people sat quietly for 5 minutes. Now, I'm not talking about the boring hush where people want to try to make it happen. I'm talking about where the Holy Spirit stops you and the fear of God moves over the place and the presence of angels are in the room and the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit has come and everybody is afraid to say the wrong thing or to step out of line because they know that God is at work among us. Whew. Those are the days of revival when it's not going to be confined to the meeting room. It's going to go out on the streets. That's when we're going to say our hearts burned within us as we sat in the presence of the Lord. I remember a meeting in Mexico. I was actually preaching on Israel's revival. And at the end, the worship team got up and it's like the heavens opened and the worship team at this church was, I don't know, almost 1,000 people there. The worship team started to worship, and it's like the presence of the Lord came in response to the preaching of the word, and everybody went on the floor. And nobody left for 5 hours. And we weren't praying over each other. People were on the floor, speaking in tongues and worshiping and getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, and healings were coming. And just having revelations like Paul, who said he was caught up into the third heaven. This is your journey that God wants you to take. The fifth type or stage of worship is the worship of praise. Now, praise is different from proclamation. Proclamation is when you talk about how great God is. But praise is when you make it personal. You say, Lord, I love you. You are so wonderful to me. You are my champion. You are my savior. You are my healer. Lord, you are my deliverer. Lord, I love you with all my heart. I honor you. I praise you. I give you the glory. I give you everything that I have. You're worthy of my praise. This is what happens in the heavens when the four living creatures start to worship the Lord. And they say, holy, holy, holy. And they start to worship him. And then the 24 elders throw their crowns before him. Those are all the things they accomplished in their lives. And they throw them and they say, Lord, you're the one who's worthy to receive honor and praise, because salvation belongs to you, O Lord. There's none like you in all the heavens. And 100 million angels swirl overhead singing the song of the Lamb. And the multitude of people sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord, for thou hast done all things. And the whole of heaven worships and praises the Lord. Something starts to lift. Doesn't matter then if you have any problems. Do you understand that your problems can become real small when you enter this place? Because you start to come in line with the creator of heaven and earth, the great fixer of all problems, the great one who lights up the darkness so that it is not there anymore. The one who brings his love to take away the deepest hurts and pains and to remove the rejection and the betrayal. The one who heals the brokenhearted and then heals the physical bodies. The one who puts a hope and a song and a joy inside of you. When you start to praise him, it's like all of a sudden the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit is there and everything starts to get changed. Let's go to the last two stages before we close this meeting and turn it back over to Pastor John. The sixth stage is what I call the prophecy of worship. Have you been in a meeting when you've come to this place and the anointing of the Lord is so, shall I say, thick in the room? That everybody's quiet. And then people start to prophesy. The spirit of prophecy is released. In some churches, it's been a long time since the spirit of prophecy was released. You know, one of the reasons is because churches are getting larger, some of them. And it's hard to have body ministry when you have 500 people. Because if you open it up, you could have three kooks give a prophecy. I prophesy that you should all have red hair by the morning. You know, somebody's pushing a button, open the floor and get rid of that guy. And worse things than that I have heard. I won't tell you some of the things I've heard prophesied in meetings. No doubt it was demons who were doing the prophesying. What do you do then? Well, you have your small groups. And this is a great place, Pastor John, you know, where people can come together. And if people have been walking in praise, in spirit and truth, they've been worshiping the Lord, then there's a bubbling up. That's what the word prophecy literally means, a bubbling up. It's the river of living water, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can have this in a large meeting too. But what you have to do, you have to say only those on the leadership team can prophesy, or only those in the worship team can prophesy. But then if there are people among you who are known to have gifts of the Holy Spirit, you can take a roped off section and ask those people, when we gather, you have this gift and we trust you, you sit here. And at any time, which is appropriate because you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, you can give a prophecy. And then if somebody else has a prophecy who is not part of that group because we don't know you or we don't know you have this gift, they can write it on a piece of paper and bring it up to somebody here. And then that person can say, yeah, we need to read this. And maybe then that person will be called up. There's ways of igniting body ministry again. But let me tell you, church meetings are not about entertainment. They are, all of heaven has hundreds of thousands of angels and people there worshiping the Lord and participating. They're not just watching what's happening on the stage. How can this happen? It's a journey for you to take so that the people of God are moving in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And more important than this is that your life is a worship during the week. And out of that worship comes the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. And out of that comes the release of prophecy. Then what kind of prophesying will take place? Because you know, nothing will happen in Waco until it is first prophesied. Are you aware of this? Two things must happen for anything to happen over your family or over your community. A prophecy must come forward from heaven. A Spirit-led prophecy and a Spirit-led agreement prayer with heaven. Those two things must come. And that's the last stage of worship I want to talk to you about. It's what I call worship prayer. See, you can get together and just pray, and it can be very powerful. But when you walk up these steps in worship, you climb Jacob's ladder that the angels use. You walk down the corridors of heaven and come into the throne room where you're seated in heavenly places with Christ, and the manifest presence of the Lord is around you. When you're in harmony with the Holy Spirit, now you've come to the purpose of worship. The purpose of worship is partnership. See, God can't trust you with partnership until you're really led by the Holy Spirit. And once you start giving everything to Him in your worship, then the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit comes. You're called into partnership with Him. That's when revelation comes. That's when you start to prophesy. And then you can pray like you never prayed before. You can pray for the nations. Ask of me the nations, and I will give them unto you. You don't just wake up in the morning and say, you know what, Lord, I think today I'm going to ask you for Uzbekistan or Argentina. Yeah, I think I'll take Argentina today. It's not like that at all. It's being in harmony with what God's doing. In actual fact, your prayers are not yours. They're His. He just gives them to you. They come from Him. He knows what's the next thing in the plan. And when you're in that place of anointing with the Holy Spirit, then you're going to receive the spirit of revelation and the spirit of prophecy, and then you can pray. You know what you can pray for? Listen carefully. You can pray for your inheritance. You can pray for your destiny. You can pray for the glory of the Lord to come. Can you feel the presence, the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit right now in this place? It's because what I'm saying to you is life and truth. And it's not beyond any one of you. This is not difficult. It's just a journey the Lord wants to take you on. And I'd like to pray over you and ask that the Lord would take you all individually and as a church on a special new journey. As far as you've gone already, may the Lord take you further for an open heaven and the release of His power. If you would like to come into agreement with me this day for these prayers over your life and over this church, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet where you are. And we're going to pray together.
If after hearing this message, you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's winsusa@comporium.net. or write to Dr. Peter Wins at Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina. The zip code is 29732, USA. For additional teachings or to receive more information about Dr. Wins or our CMM ministry, go to our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue, and your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord and has helped to train you to become a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us at CMM, to all of you who have heard this recording, we extend God's richest blessings.